Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Way of Truth. My name is Kenny Chumley. I preach for the Gibson City Church of Christ, and this morning we're going to continue our study on the truth of Christianity. Before we get to that, I want to take just a couple of minutes to tell you about the Church of Christ here in Gibson. We are your friends and neighbors who live in this area who are trying to be nothing but followers of Jesus Christ. And so we meet every Sunday to worship, and we meet at our building, which is on the south side of Gibson. It's on Route 47. It's one block south of the traffic light. And we begin our worship every Sunday with Bible classes for all ages. Christ said that we are to learn of Him. We take His yoke and we learn of Him. And He told the apostles to teach believers to be baptized, and then to observe everything that He taught His followers to observe. And so when we gather for Bible study, we're going to the Word of God to find out what kind of people He wants us to be. And so at 9 o'clock, we begin our worship with Bible classes. In the adult class, we're studying the life of Christ. At 10 o'clock, our worship involves singing and praying, reading Scripture, eating the Lord's Supper, and preaching. The lesson this morning is from the first part of James chapter 5. At the conclusion of the sermon, we take a short break, and then we reassemble for a second Bible study. Last week, we began studying the book of Leviticus, and we're going to be talking about what it means to be holy. Several times in Scripture, God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And the book of Leviticus illustrates that as well as any book we can go to. And so that's what we do this morning. This coming Wednesday, we have a midweek assembly. And being the last Wednesday of the month, we're going to spend the hour worshiping God in song. That begins at 7 o'clock, and it will last for 1 hour. And I would refer you to our website, GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. And if you go there, you can find more information about the church, but you can also find our Sunday bulletin. We post every Sunday bulletin there. And you can find audio files that you can click on and listen to. The series I did on prayer is uploaded. The sermons are uploaded. This current series on the truth of Christianity is being uploaded. And you can access all of that again by going to GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. What we're talking about now is how an invisible God enables men to see Him. And there's several ways by which God might do that, by which He might become visible. One way is that He might appear to men in His divine form, in His divine glory. He might appear to men in an other than human form. And there was a time when God did that. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ appeared in His divine glory. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were as white as light. His clothes were like snow. Mark tells us that His clothes were whiter than had ever been seen on earth before. And there were three individuals who saw Christ's glory emanate from Him. And those were, they were Peter, James, and John. And Peter never forgot that scene. Writing in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "Listen, what we're talking about here is no fairy tale. We've not been deceived by some cunningly devised fable. We saw the Lord's glory. We heard the Father's testimony that this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." And so the Transfiguration was the one instance where people saw supernatural, divine glory emanating from Christ. But that's not the primary means by which God has chosen to appear to men, by which God has made Himself visible to men. No, the primary means by which God has revealed Himself to man was in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ appeared, although He was God, He appeared as an ordinary man. And we call that the incarnation, where God took on human nature. And there was nothing special about Christ's appearance as a man. Isaiah chapter 53 talks about that there was nothing particularly desirable about him from the human perspective when people saw him. And so then the question becomes, well, if God is going to appear like a man, how is he going to demonstrate that he is really more than a man? He might look like a man, but he's also God. How is God going to convince men that this Jesus, who looks just like one of them, is really much more than them, that he is God incarnate? And the answer to that is God will demonstrate the deity of Jesus through miracles. A miracle is an unmistakable sign from God. A miracle is to the unseen what lightning is to electrified air. You understand that illustration? I mean, there are times when the air just looks calm and it looks like air always looks, which means you can't see anything. It's just the atmosphere there. And suddenly there is a crack of lightning and there's a bolt that appears. And what that bolt tells us is that that air was electrified, that there are eons in that air that allowed the lightning to appear. And so Jesus appeared looking like a man. But how did he convince other men that he was really more than a man? Well, he did it by performing miracles. A miracle is an obvious supernatural act. A miracle is something that it is impossible for nature to produce. You know, religious people like to throw the term miracle around pretty carelessly. I've had people tell me and talk to me about being blessed with some miracle, that this miracle occurred or that miracle occurred. And the problem most often when people talk about miracles in that way is that they are mistaking the providential for the miraculous. Now, let me give you an illustration. Many, many years ago, I had a friend who had a severely handicapped son, and he and his wife had been trying for a long time to get their son into a residential facility where they had the means of caring for him properly. And they'd been on this waiting list for a long time, and the poor boy was so severely handicapped, they had pretty much been told, don't expect us to have an opening for you. And then one day I saw him, ran into him in town, and he stopped me, and he was excited, and he was happy, and he told me, I've got to tell you about this miracle that's happened. There's an opening in the residential facility, and they are accepting our son. Well, I didn't get into any kind of theological discussion with him about that, but that was not a miracle that happened. That was providence. And you know what providence is? Providence refers to things that God brings about indirectly through natural means. When I pray that God heals someone, I'm not asking that God perform a miracle like Christ performed when he was here on earth. I'm not asking that if the sick person could just touch the hem of Christ's garment, they would be instantaneously healed. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking that God heal them. I don't believe the devil heals anybody. I'm asking that God heal my family member or my friend through natural means. And God has answered my prayers so many times, but every time he's answered them, they have been through natural means. Now, sometimes a providential answer may be an unlikely happening. It may be something that defies the odds that you wouldn't normally expect, but still, it's something that nature could cause and nature could produce. Did you know on D-Day, back on June 6, 1944, the fleet that was bringing all of the soldiers for the invasion, was concealed from the enemy right up until the very end by fog. Now, the Navy couldn't have asked for a better situation. They could sail almost right up to the Normandy beach before they were seen, which meant the enemy couldn't be firing at them from long range, from a distance. They were concealed by fog, but that fog was not a miracle. It may have been providential, but the fog was produced by natural phenomena. And that's the difference between the providential and the miraculous. The miraculous can only be produced by supernatural causes. But providence is the result of natural causes. Now, there are no miracles being performed today. And one of the reasons I know that there are no miracles being performed today is because you don't see them on the 6 o'clock news. You don't see miracles referenced or talked about or seen on CNN or on Fox News. You know, if somebody went down to Carl Hospital and emptied it by miraculous healings, do you think Channel 3 would mention that on the 6 o'clock news? I mean, if somebody went in and healed instantaneously, completely, fully, every individual in Carl Hospital, so that Carl Hospital had no patients, do you think Channel 3 would mention that? Well, I think they probably would. And the fact that you never hear about any miracles on the headline news or in the newspaper or the magazines is pretty good evidence to me that miracles are not being performed today. Most people don't realize something. The Bible covers thousands of years from its start to its finish. It starts with creation. It ends up about the year 100 AD. And there are millennia in there. There are thousands of years. I don't know how many thousands, but thousands of years covered by the Bible. Did you know most of the people in the Bible never saw a miracle? I think there are folks who think that if you lived during a Bible time, why, miracles were going on all the time. It was no big thing to see a miracle. But that's not the way it was. Miracles did not regularly occur throughout Bible history. There are about 250 instances of miracles in the Bible, and most of them took place during three small windows of history. During the time of Moses, during the time of Elijah and Elisha, and during the time of Jesus and the apostles. Why were miracles concentrated in those periods? Well, it's because God was confirming new truth. God was giving man new revelation during those times, and miracles were the means by which he confirmed his word and confirmed the messengers through whom he revealed his word. There are huge gaps in the Bible. There are centuries where there were no miracles. And you know why? It's because there was no new revelation. God had not given a new revelation to men that needed to be confirmed. Most miracles confirmed new revelation from God. Mark 16:20, Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, other passages teach that. And that's why there are no miracles today. There are no miracles today because the Bible is complete and it's been confirmed as true, and God is not giving man any new revelation today that requires authenticity. I've had people tell me that God has spoken to them. And I've asked them, well, what has God said? And they tell me. And not once has anyone ever told me anything that they said God said to them that I can't find in my Bible. No, the Bible is complete. It's confirmed. Could God do a miracle if he wanted? Well, of course he could. But miracles were foundational. You know, a homeowner could go out and build another foundation if he wanted, but once you got the foundation down and the house on top of it, you don't rebuild the foundation. And that's the way it was with miracles. They were the foundation for faith. in the existence of the living God. Well, we'll stop there, and next week we will start looking about how we know miracles were performed during Bible times. And I hope you'll be back with us for that discussion. I hope you have a good week. And I look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 o'clock right here on The Way of Truth.